the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. We've talked about London's housing crisis a few times on this podcast already, and City Hall is trying to respond to that crisis by allowing higher high-rises and more infill development. But not everyone is happy with the proposals. Today, I'm talking with London Free Press City Hall reporter Jack Moulton about what's been recently approved by London's Planning Committee. Hi, Jack. How are you?
Good, Rachel. Thanks for having me. It has been a while.
It's been a little while. We're glad to have you back on the podcast. You know, now that council's back in full swing, there's lots going on at City Hall, of course. So let's briefly just kind of talk about the housing crisis. We've talked about this before with Jonathan Juha. What is the city exactly responding to? Just kind of give us a little brief overview to set the stage here.
Yeah, so it'll come as no surprise to our listeners and readers that London and the wider province and the country is in the midst of a housing crisis. It's been made pretty clear that our building of homes has not really kept up with demand, and that's been sort of exacerbated in the last few years. Multitude of issues. I know international students is a big one. Temporary foreign workers. People moving around the country, especially here in London, getting a lot of Toronto expats. And so that's kind of put pressure on housing of all varieties, really. Rentals, especially, since for the past few decades, we haven't really been building many of those, period. We're only just starting to get back into that rhythm. And the ownership market has, been quite hit or miss. It's in a bit of a downturn right now, if you could even call it that. Maybe more stagnant is the right word. Sure.
Okay, so let's, you had a story recently about the Towers of Spite at lfpress.com. These are four buildings near Western, and this happened several years ago, actually almost a decade ago now. But what are the Towers of Spite? What was the issue surrounding these buildings that were put up there?
Yeah, so the Towers of Spite, as they're sort of been deemed, is sort of a townhouse development near Western on Audrey Avenue and Huron Street, where the developer, Cap Holdings, sought to build a rather dense townhouse development in 2006, 2007, that sort of time period. Mm-hmm. But City Council shot it down. And so a sort of haphazard version of the original plan went up. And yes, they were dubbed the Towers of Spite because to some of the neighbors, they sort of seemed a little unsightly. Definitely unique architecturally compared to everything else in the neighborhood. It's largely single family homes in that neighborhood.
You did mention the lack of aesthetic appeal. Is this, do the neighbors just feel like these don't fit the neighborhood landscape?
Exactly. And we'll get into Tuesday night's planning committee, I'm sure. But there was one neighbor who was speaking about how there's nothing even that remotely looks close to these buildings in this neighborhood. So it's been described as an eyesore and everything in between.
Right. So I said a decade ago, I meant almost two decades ago, because I don't know what year it is, I guess. So they're actually going to tear down one of these buildings that they built in 2007, 2008 and build 11 more units. Is that right? So how many other buildings, like what's the new plan that they want to have going forward? Because we already don't like these buildings. The neighbors there don't like them. But now they want to put more on that site.
Yeah, so right now there are four buildings on, I believe it's 0.17 hectares. So one of them will be torn down and there will be two three-story blocks of cluster townhouses with 11 new units. And I think that's a total of 70 bedrooms in 14 buildings.
Wow. Will they differ from the buildings that are already there, or will they be fairly similar, do you think?
Fairly similar, but you know, given that the cluster townhouses, you know, will be able to go ahead, I think it brings it more in line with what was originally proposed. You know, people familiar with the area know that the buildings that are there now, they're sort of tall and narrow, given the scaling back they had to do. And so, of course, rather subjectively, it might look a little less unappealing if, you know, some of these townhouses were clustered as they are now, or as they're proposed to be, I should say.
Okay. So what are the neighbors' concerns? Because this was a committee that had discussed adding these buildings on this site, but there were some concerns that they heard from neighbors already.
So the intensity on what is a rather small lot is a large concern for the neighbors. Mm-hmm. It's 0.17 hectares with 14 buildings, including, you know, the three existing ones. Mm-hmm. So it is dense. And given this is in a near campus neighborhood, it was implied during the planning committee meeting and heavily suggested that these would be catered to student rentals, which... sort of bring their own concerns from neighbors. Not only were they concerned with the density compared to what is largely a single family home neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So sort of sticks out a little bit, but you know,
potential with... student neighborhood moving in, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It would sort of be its own community of student rentals, and you know, whether well-founded or not, people who might be longer-term residents of the neighborhood have some concerns about what students could bring, you know, sort of the non-permanency of their stay, moving in and out, throwing parties, you know, mm-hmm. things along those lines.
Yeah, certainly London's seen our share of issues around that for sure. But we need housing, right? We're in dire need of housing. We especially need housing for students as well. So we need housing. And I guess why was this lot chosen versus others? I mean, is there room to expand there? Because it seems like it's going to be quite dense.
Well, the developer seems intent on going forward with this. As he told my fellow colleague, Norm DeBono, he is sort of just looking to complete what has been a multi-decade process. Mm-hmm. And council did acknowledge that the times have changed a little bit, but even then didn't sort of shed their concerns. I believe it was Councillor Corinne Rahman, a member of the planning committee, who said, you know, there's too much going for this site in terms of the goals the city wants to achieve versus going against it. You know, this is a near campus neighborhood. This is mm-hmm. in the city's primary transit area, where, you know, transit is most heavily serviced. But, you know, she also said that, yeah, I do agree that this lot is intense, mm-hmm. but housing, rentals, student housing specifically, it ticks a lot of boxes.
Yeah. A planning committee was also talking about and approved high rises, not just in this site, not just in this area, not just for students, but actually across London. Now there's different height, going to be different height restrictions for different areas, but just talk about kind of what was decided there, maybe what the differences are in different areas of London.
This was a review of maximum height limits across the city, you know, partly brought about to amend the London plan, the city's sort of master planning document that dictates what's allowed where and how planning decisions are made across the city. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it sort of piecemeal. Avid readers will know I've reported on a few functions of it already, but this was one that councillors and developers were really looking for, were these increased height limits. And that's because, as councillors themselves have put it, they're looking to catch the city's regulations up with what council is approving now. You know, it's been a grievance by many members of the public that some buildings, you know, especially in the more dense areas of the city, downtown, Richmond Row, you know, things of that nature, have seen planning applications come through that exceed the height limit by 10 stories. Mm-hmm. Also thinking back to some of those towers we talked about in the Oxford Wonderland area, that was another big thing.
Yes.
So, yeah, just trying to bring the city more in line with what's more feasible for developers, and of course to try and bring more housing online, not only from the sheer need, but also to abide by some of the federal government's rules around the Housing Accelerator Fund money that we received just about a year ago now, that mandates, more dense developments, specifically around transit and like heavily serviced transit areas. And so, granted, that doesn't mean, 30 stories can crop up anywhere. This is parceled out depending on where you are in the city. For
And how do we
example,
compare, sorry, how do we compare with building heights to other cities? I mean, do other cities, obviously Toronto has extremely high building heights and limitations, but how do we compare to other similar cities, London?
that was another focus of the review. Generally, to be more in line, maybe not so much with Toronto, but maybe some of our peer cities, your Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge area, Hamilton, those sorts of things. That was definitely a factor when the city was studying this and sort of looking at these, so bringing us more in line with them.
Do you have a list of the neighborhoods, because there are different areas of the city that they're calling it? They're calling, there's different high-rise limits for connector streets versus downtown versus other transit areas. What are some of the specifications that were discussed?
Absolutely. So the primary one being downtown, with the highest height limits of them all, as you would expect. Now, staff recommended, and it was planning committee endorsed. Still, all of this still needs the full approval of council in a couple of weeks. Downtown, the new height limit would be 45 stories as opposed to 35. Probably not that controversial. In transit villages, which is to say, sort of the next land designation outside of downtown with the sort of loosest restrictions around density and height. And there's four of them in the city, I should specify. Masonville Mall, that area, White Oaks small area, Oxford and Wonderland, as I previously mentioned, and sort of the Oxford and Highbury area where the old psych hospital is, or was, I should say. So that was recommended a new height limit increase to 30 stories from 22, but Mayor Josh Morgan and Deputy Mayor Sean Lewis actually recommended boosting that to 35 stories to bring it again more in line with what's being approved. Think of the 30 and 33 story towers over at Oxford and Wonderland. On the rapid transit corridors, which is connecting downtown to these transit villages. So think along Wellington, along Oxford to the west. Think of the East Link BRT route that's going through Dundas and Oxford. Along those corridors, the new proposed limit is 25 stories. There originally was going to be a mix between having slightly taller limits within 100 meters of a transit station and a slightly shorter limit everywhere else. But now the planning committee is recommending a more uniform 25 stories everywhere along those corridors. And then urban corridors, think one of my go-to examples is sort of Dundas Street in the Old East Village. And sort of Midtown area, that's a big urban corridor, 15 stories up from the current 10. Community shopping centers, so think of strip mall areas kind of thing, 8 stories from 6. New in this height limit is actually creating a new land designation called a major shopping center area. And the example that was given was Westmount Mall. The height limit for that would be 15 stories. And then making our way down to more neighborhood level, major streets. So not your major arteries, but still major streets. I believe Commissioners is one of them. Adelaide is another one. The new height limit will be 8 stories up from 6. And then on, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about this, the neighborhood connectors. There's a lot of them in the city, too many to name, but just to name some, Talbot, Wortley, Cheapside, streets that are a little higher order than
The
maybe your
side
suburban
streets.
streets. Exactly. They're meant to connect you to businesses, to parks. They're a little bit of an upgrade over the average street a suburban house might be on. But you know, still on the smaller scale. And so the height limit for that is 4 stories up from the current 3. So a little boost, but.
Okay. So they were talking also about 4-story stacked townhouses. What are those? It sounds crowded. What are they?
Yeah. So stacked townhouses, rather simply, are just townhouses stacked on top of one another. You know, you have 2 stories of a townhouse on the bottom and then another 2-story townhouse up top.
Okay. So it's not a 1-floor apartment. They each have 2 floors, but they're stacked like apartments.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. And they were permitted, you know, in certain areas throughout the city, especially in neighborhoods, more targeted towards the busier parts of the neighborhoods, like the intersection of major streets or neighborhood connectors. But what Mayor Morgan and Deputy Mayor Lewis put forward last night was to allow them across neighborhood connectors. Deputy Mayor Lewis described it as sort of, yes, we allowed them at these intersections, but now we're going to allow them sort of mid-block, as he said.
Okay. There was a lot of people at the planning committee meeting because they did have a public participation meeting ahead of time. And a lot of those citizens had some concerns and said they didn't know the significance of all of these proposed changes. Like the changes were bigger than a lot of them had thought. What were some of the things that that residents had said at the meeting?
Yeah, so it certainly wasn't helped by the fact that this public participation session lumped a lot of issues together. So you had these height limits, you had the new major shopping center designation, and another item I haven't even touched on yet, 2 new transit villages. That is to say, looser height and density restrictions around the areas of the Oxford and Richmond intersection. So sort of the north end of Richmond Row.
Yep.
But also the 100 Kellogg Lane area and, you know, the development that's going on around there. That is on the East Link BRT. And the Oxford and Richmond one was on the canceled North Link up to Masonville.
Right. Okay.
But yes, so a lot of these issues were lumped together, and as it permits to height limits, it was the more neighborhood centered changes that residents were a little more concerned about, especially since it was a rather broad change with the neighborhood connectors upping the height limit. And a lot of folks were talking about how, first off, what is a neighborhood connector, let alone do I even live on one?
Right.
You know, a lot of city hall jargon getting in there.
Sure.
And once they did find out they lived on a neighborhood connector, finally actually educating themselves on this. And city hall did touch on the fact, staff, I should say, they did touch on the fact that they didn't mail out, you know, notices to every single resident on a neighborhood connector, because that would have been 20,000 plus people. So they tried their best with the get involved feedback page that the city runs, a couple of engagement sessions. But yeah, you can't reach everyone. And that was evident Tuesday night, where, you know, people were largely just confused about what is a neighborhood connector? What is a transit village?
Yeah.
You know, will what a transit village changes? Come? Exactly. What is being called a transit village actually practically mean?
Right.
In reality, it doesn't really mean anything, at least on the face of it. It just means developments coming forward could have higher heights, denser developments. But, you know, just it doesn't mean flipping a switch and then suddenly you've got high rises everywhere.
Sure.
So there was overall a lot of confusion. And, you know, that led to some councillors sort of acknowledging the fact that this maybe could have been done better.
It's a lot of information and a lot of changes all at once, you know, so I would understand the confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, none of this is set in stone, like nothing's being built yet because this was just approved by the planning committee. What is the next step for all of this? How do we move forward?
Yes. So changes were endorsed by the planning committee. They still have to go to full council for approval. and especially the ones targeted towards the London plan, some of these land designation changes and these height limit requirements, building design facets, they still have to get approved by the Ministry of Municipal Affairs with the province, even after council approves it. So there is another layer there. So there were a few commitments from councillors who did not sit on the planning committee and therefore could not vote to talk more about this during council, the next council meeting where this is due to come up, which is September 24th.
Okay.
And so residents can likely bring their concerns forward to their ward councillors. And I'm sure there will be a lengthy discussion about this
yes.
as the debate, even on Tuesday night alone, was longer than 2 hours. And
wow.
Whether that's the confusion or just the multitude of topics, it was a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, well, thank you, Jack. I'm sure we'll have you back on to talk about probably this very issue in the coming weeks. But thanks for joining us today. And you can follow along with Jack's stories from City Council at lfpress.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel.